Good morning. Greetings of love and peace. It is a blessing to be gathered together in God's holy temple here. I'm very thankful. Thank you for the prayers. We need the prayers of those we love. We're going to read from 1 Peter chapter 5. But first, I'm going to read a short poem. The Roaring Lion. He prowls around the earth to find a victim to devour. He's always looking for the kind of prey quite weak in power. He seldom looks within the flock. He knows the shepherd's there. Instead, he finds ones with sweet talk and promises repair. We can't escape the lion's bait unless we know just how to find the shepherd's open gate through faith that's needed now. So let's read 1 Peter chapter 5. The elders which are among you I exhort, who am also an elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. Feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind. Neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being in samples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, he shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility, for God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. Whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. By Silvanus, a faithful brother unto you, as I suppose, I have written briefly, exhorting and testifying that this is the true grace of God wherein ye stand. The church that is at Babylon, elected together with you, saluteth you, and so doth Marcus my son. Greet ye one another with a kiss of charity. Peace be with you, all that are in Christ Jesus. Amen. Verse 8, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. In 1898, there was a railroad being built in Kenya by the Uganda Railroad Company. And as they were building this railroad, they came to a river called Tsavo. And of course, there was a bridge that needed to be built there. So they made camp. They brought in Indians from India to do the construction. And they brought in upwards to 3,000 workers. They started the construction, everything was going good, but then they ran into a huge problem. There was two man-eating lions that showed up. These lions were so brave that they came right into the camp and stole people right out of their tents while they were sleeping. They would grab them and they'd walk out. And they eventually became so bold that they would only go a couple hundred yards away from the camp and devour these men. The Indians, of course, were terrified. I think we would all have been terrified. Nobody would want to be around man-eating lions. If people wandered away from camp or the work site, there was a chance that they would not show back up. These lions knew what an easy prey humans were. The colonel in charge of the work site, of building this bridge, building this railroad, he ordered the thorn fences be made, because this was back in 1898. They didn't have the ability for the welding to build fences and whatnot, so they had to use thorns and the branches that they had. But the lions figured it out, and they just went right through them. Either that or they just jumped right over the top of them, and they would go in and they would steal another man. He did build one steel cage, and he built it big enough so where he could actually put another cage inside of it and put three men in this cage. They were used as the bait. And this did work. One of the man-eaters went in, the door shut, but the men were so terrified that they emptied their weapons at the lion 2 feet away and didn't hit him one time. And the lion, of course, was so scared that he was able to break through and get away again. There was 3,000 workers there, at least 3,000 workers, and they decided, we've had enough. We're too scared. We're leaving. These man-eaters, they thought, were old chiefs of the local tribes that were reincarnated into these lions, and they were taking revenge of this railroad being built on their land. These men were terrified. 3,000 workers left. There was an empty camp. During this time, there was up to 135 people who lost their life to these lions. Walking in, stealing them one by one. One thing that the lions were very good at is every night as they traveled to the different camps while the men were there, they would roar and they would share their presence. But one thing that they always did right before they pounced on the human is that they would cough. It's a common trait that lions have. Before they pounce, they cough. Because it would make the prey freeze, an antelope or whatever, it would make them freeze, and then a non-moving object is always easier to pounce on, to attack. So I share this story because we have a roaring lion here in 1 Peter chapter 5, that is seeking our souls. And are we as afraid of this lion as these men were of these two man-eaters? It took 9 months for this colonel who was in charge to kill these two lions. So there was 9 months of horror there at the Sabo River. But I would like to talk about that cough that the lions had right before they pounced. And I'd kind of like to liken that to the temptation that Satan sends our way, that he attacks us with, that he warns us about before there is a sin. Do we hear the cough of the lion and recognize it as the temptation? It's a warning sign of something's going to happen. Do we stop? Do we stop? There's only one way to fight a lion that's coming after you, and that is to stop and to face it. To get your weapon ready and to prepare for the pounce. And as we have that weapon ready, we can start backing up very slowly because we know that this temptation is very serious. I like to turn to Ephesians chapter 6, and I want to read about the weapons that we have. Which I'm sure everybody knows. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the word of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. So as we hear this cough, as we hear this temptation, as we see this temptation coming towards us, can we stop? Can we get on the armor? Do we have on the armor as we are walking throughout this life? Are we prepared for these temptations? With a lion, if you turn and run, you're dead. You cannot just turn and run. That snaps an instinct like that in a lion to chase. But if we read Ephesians 6 in the armor of God, there is nothing on our backside to protect us. We don't have armor on our backside. We have armor to face the battle that is before us. We cannot turn around and run when there is a temptation in front of us. We can back away slowly. We can be prepared for that pounce. But we cannot run. We are to flee. We are to flee youthful lusts. But let's do it with our armor in front and with our sword in front and not reveal our backside. We also have the promise in 2 Corinthians 2:9. We can turn there quick. Or I can turn there. You don't have to. 2 Corinthians 2, verse 9. Nope, I have that wrong reference. It says, our grace is sufficient. God's grace is sufficient. God's grace is sufficient. That is a promise that we have. 1 Corinthians 10:12 and 13 gives us more of a truth, of a promise from the Lord. Because we know that Satan will always be seeking whom he may devour. We know that we will always have temptations, but we do not have to sin. Just because we are being tempted does not mean that we have to sin. We can live an overcoming life through God's grace and through even 1 Corinthians 10:12 and 13. It says, wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. There hath no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation always make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. We have a promise right here in God's word that we can flee temptation. We have a way out. By God's grace, we do not have to sin. But what do we do with temptation to make it sin? Do we think about it? Do we ponder it? Does it keep festering? Do thoughts keep going around and around and around? Do we yield? Do we hear the cough and keep going, ignoring the warning? Or do we face it head on and pray to God Almighty, who can get us through it? By God's grace, we can live an overcoming life. We can resist the temptations. Satan is seeking whom he may devour. And I pray that there is none here that are being devoured right now, that are in the fight. I pray that we all have our armor on, but I would suspect there are some that are yielding to temptations, that are living in sin today. There are unconverted people here, and they are yielding to temptation, and I pray for them. I plead that you would not be taken out of this tent, that you do not get drug away by the ultimate man-eater, Satan. That while you are sleeping, you do not have them big canines clamped down upon your neck like them 135 souls. Satan is ruthless. He will attack the strongest in this building and also the weakest. He wants your soul in hell. So if we are tempted, let's keep praying. Let's keep singing. Let's talk to others. If you are in the midst of a fight, reveal it. Talk to somebody. Get it in the light, because Satan hates the light. Yield not to temptation, for yielding is sin. Each victory will help you some other to win. Fight manfully onward, dark passions subdue. Look ever to Jesus, he'll carry you through. Shun evil companions, bad language disdain. God's name hold in reverence, nor take it in vain. Be thoughtful and earnest, kind-hearted and true. Look ever to Jesus, he'll carry you through. To him that o'ercometh, God giveth a crown. Through faith we shall conquer, though often cast down. He who is our Savior, our strength will renew. Look ever to Jesus, he'll carry you through. Ask the Savior to help you, comfort, strengthen, and keep you. He is willing to aid you. He will carry you through.